Hi, I'm Rick Warren, and you're listening to Daily Hope. This week I heard about a little boy who jumped into his father's lap and he said, "Daddy, my heart is so full of happiness." And then he jumped off and went off to play with his brother. And about an hour later, the little boy came back in with a sad, long face, and he looked like gloom had overtaken him, and his dad said, "What happened to your happy heart?" And the little boy said, "Brian made it all leak out." Would you agree that sometimes our hearts spring a leak? That one minute you can be very, very happy, and then the very next second, all that happiness can leak out. Maybe it happens because of a phone call, or maybe it happens because of a mean comment somebody said, or maybe you just had a flat tire. What do you do in those situations? Well, let's look into God's Word and see what it says about what we should do when our hearts spring a happiness leak.
Today on Daily Hope with Rick Warren, we continue in our series called The Habits of Happiness. This is part one of a message called How to Be Happy No Matter What, taken from the book of Philippians. But right before today's message, as you may know, Pastor Rick is always teaching that the Bible says you are not an accident and that you are alive because God wanted to create you and He has a purpose for your life. Rick says that you will only be fulfilled when you discover and live out God's purposes for your life. Now, because of this, he wants us to send you his newly expanded version of the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, What on Earth Am I Here For? This recently revised and upgraded book is packed with 30 additional hours of teaching, including quick links for video chapter introductions, audio lessons, and two brand new chapters. This book will help you discover God's plan for your life. Now, we'll send you a hardback copy of this life-changing book as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope Ministries. Call 800-600-5004 or visit rickwarren.org today for your copy of The Purpose-Driven Life, What on Earth Am I Here For? That's 800-600-5004 or rickwarren.org. Or you can just text the word daily to 313131. That's daily to 313131. And now here's Pastor Rick with today's message.
Now, one of the common mistakes that we all make is we fall into the trap of what I call when and then thinking. When and then thinking. In other words, when such and such happens, then I'll be happy. And you have done this all your life, and so have I. We fall into this when and then thinking. When I get into college, when I get married, when I have a baby, when I get a job, when my kids are born, when my kids leave the house, when and then thinking, then I'll be happy. Now, there are four common barriers to happiness. I want you to just write these down at the top of your notes there. Four common barriers. I call these the killjoys of life, because when any of these enter into your life, then they're going to rob your happiness unless you're prepared for them. The first one, of course, is pain. Pain is a killjoy. It's hard to be happy and in pain at the same time. Pain is a killjoy. But there's another one, and you're familiar with this too. I call it picky people. Picky people. People of all kinds, actually, can cause you to lose your joy. They can be irritating, they can be demanding, they can be uncooperative, they can be arrogant. People are a common killjoy in life. Number three, pressure. Pressure can cause you to lose your happiness. And you can have pressure from within yourself, or you can have it around you. It can be internal or it can be external. And then number four, and one you're all familiar with, of course, is problems. Problems. And there are all kinds of problems. So pain, people, pressures, and problems all are what I call the killjoys. Now, in Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 down to about verse 30 or so, Paul talks about all four of these killjoys, and we have an example of how to be happy no matter what's going on in your life. Now, I want to remind you that Paul, when he writes this book, the happiest book, he's in prison. He's in prison in Rome. In fact, the last 4 years of Paul's life had gone like this before he wrote this happiest book in the Bible. He spent 2 years in jail in Caesarea on false charges. 2 years in jail for false charges. Then he is sent on the way to Rome, and he is shipwrecked in the Mediterranean Ocean on the way to Rome, and he ends up on a desert island in the Mediterranean. And he's stranded there for a while with some people. And while he's there, there are some snakes, poisonous snakes on that island. He actually gets bit by a snake while he's there. Then he's imprisoned again for another 2 years in Rome with a guard chained to him 24 hours a day. So he has no privacy at all. He's in prison in Rome with a Praetorian guard, because he was such an important prisoner, chained to him 24 hours a day. He has no privacy. Now, Paul has every reason to be bitter. He has every reason to be unhappy. He has every reason to be depressed and have a pity party. Instead, he writes this book on happiness and on joy. Now, let me read you today's text. It's Philippians 1, 12 to 30. It starts like this. I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, Paul's writing, that everything that has happened to me has helped me to spread the good news. For everyone here, including all the soldiers in the palace guard, know that I am in chains because of Christ. And I have gained confidence. Oh, and because of my imprisonment, many of the Christians here have gained confidence and become more bold in telling others about Christ. Now, some are sharing Christ out of jealousy and rivalry. He's talking about the people who are outside. But others preach Christ with pure motives, and they love me, and they know that the Lord brought me here to defend the good news. But there are those who do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. And they preach with selfish ambition, and they're not sincere, intending to make my time in prison more painful to me. But whether or not their motives are pure, the fact remains that the message about Christ is being preached, so I rejoice. And I will continue to rejoice no matter what. For I know that as you pray for me, he's writing to the people in the Philippi, the church in a city in Greece called Philippi, it's called Philippians. If he's writing to us, it'd be First Californians. For I know, he says, that you are praying for me, and as the Spirit of Jesus helps me, this will all turn out for my deliverance. And I live in eager expectation and hope. And then he says, I want my life to always honor Christ, whether I live or I die. For to me, living is for Christ, and dying is even better. If I live, it just means more fruitful service, years of service for Christ, but I'm often torn between two desires. Sometimes I want to live, and sometimes I long to go on and be with Christ in heaven. That would be far better for me. But it's better for you if I live, so that you can grow and that you can experience the joy of your faith. But whatever happens, you must live in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Don't be intimidated by your enemies. It will be a sign to them of their downfall that God's with you and that he will save you. For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. And we are in this fight together. You've seen me suffer for Christ in the past, and you know that I am still in the middle of a great struggle. Now, that's a very warm, personal note that Paul's writing. It's a very personal book, this letter he's writing to his friends in the church of Philippi that he started. And in this passage, he covers these four different killjoys. And he talks about how he has dealt with them, how he's maintained his happiness in spite of everything going in ways he hadn't planned. Now, the key verse in this whole passage I just read is verse 27. It's there on your outline, and it says this. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the good news of Christ. We're going to look at how to be happy no matter what happens.
That's Rick Warren with just a portion of today's message called How to Be Happy No Matter What from our series, The Habits of Happiness. There's so much more coming up, so stay right here.
Why am I alive? Does my life really matter? Why am I here? We've all asked these critical questions, and now Pastor Rick Warren answers them in the upgraded edition of his New York Times best-selling book, The Purpose-Driven Life: What on Earth Am I Here For? This book includes two new chapters on how to overcome the biggest barriers to living your life on purpose, as well as links to video chapter introductions and audio lessons. Rick wants you to live a life of purpose and meaning, and that's why he wants to send you a copy of this life-changing hardback book. It's our gift to say thanks for your financial support. Stop guessing why you're here. Learn to live life on purpose with The Purpose-Driven Life. What on Earth Am I Here For? Call today, 800-600-5004, or visit rickwarren.org to get your copy. Or you can just text the word DAILY to 313131. That's the word DAILY to 313131. Thanks in advance for your support.
And once again, here's Rick Warren.
That's a very warm, personal note that Paul's writing. It's a very personal book, this letter he's writing to his friends in the Church of Philippi that he started. And in this passage, he covers these four different killjoys. And he talks about how he has dealt with them, how he's maintained his happiness in spite of everything going in ways he hadn't planned. Now, the key verse in this whole passage I just read is verse 27. It's there on your outline, and it says this: whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the good news of Christ. We're going to look at how to be happy no matter what happens. So in this passage, we learn how to be happy no matter what, even if you're in prison in Rome. And Paul models four habits. Let's get right into it. Number one, I can be happy no matter what happens in my life if, number one, I look at every problem from God's viewpoint. If I look at every problem from God's viewpoint. You see, happy people have a larger perspective. They have a bigger worldview. They see the big picture. When I don't have the big picture, when I don't see things from God's point of view, I get discouraged, I get frustrated, I get unhappy. The reason we get unhappy is because we don't see what God does. Now, the truth is, no matter what's going on in your life, the good, bad, the ugly, God is working out a plan. And he even takes all of our mistakes and even puts those into the plan. He says, I can use that too. My sins, yes. My faults, yes. What other people do, yes. God says, I can fit it all into the plan. And Paul knew this. And so he starts out, the first verse is verse 12, and he says this: now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me has helped spread the good news. Now let me explain what's going on here. Ever since Paul had become a Christian on the road to Damascus, he had dreamed one great dream, and that was this: I want to preach in Rome. Rome is the center of the universe. Rome is the capital of the empire. Rome is the most prestigious, powerful, strategic city in the world. We've picked out 12 of those strategic cities where we're planting this year and next year churches at Saddleback. But if we had been planning in those days, we would have been planning in Rome. There's no doubt about that. There was no nation more important than the Roman Empire, and there was no city more important than Rome. So Paul's dream is sharing Christ at the center of the universe. And what he wants to do is this. He wants to go to Rome, he wants to rent the Colosseum, and he wants to do a harvest crusade for 6 months. That's what Paul's thinking. I'm going to Rome to preach. God had another idea. Paul, you're going to go as a prisoner, and I'm going to make you a royal prisoner of Caesar. Now, does anybody know who was Caesar at this point? Nero. You ever heard of that guy? Yeah, Nero. About as wicked and as bad as you can get. So Rome, Paul is a prisoner of Nero. And as a royal prisoner, with a royal guard chained to him 24 hours a day, He gets to talk to all kinds of key people he would never otherwise talk to because he's an important prisoner. He's chained 24 hours a day to a palace guard for 2 years. They changed that guard every 4 hours. So I added it up. Over 2 years, he witnessed to 4,380 guards. Now my question is, who's the real prisoner here? Who has the captive audience? Paul is talking to the entire court of Caesar's palace. And God says, this is my plan. You want to go do the big city lights national crusade, but I'm going to put you in prison. And there were two results of it, we know for sure. Chapter 4, when we get to later on, will tell us that within 2 years, some of Nero's own family had become believers. Because Paul was a prisoner in Rome. Some of the royal family had become Christians because Paul was in prison. And second, Paul, it's kind of like Rick Warren, it's hard to get him to sit down, sit still, not stop moving. He's forced to sit still, and he, as a result, writes the New Testament. I wonder which had a bigger impact. Go do a Harvest Crusade in the Colosseum, or be forced to sit still hour after hour and write Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and on, 1st, 2nd Timothy, and 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, and most of the New Testament. This is why Paul says, I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me, being in prison, has helped spread the good news. So he says, I've got my plan, but God has a bigger plan. And he says, I can be happy because I can see what God is doing through my problem. Now, anytime you have a problem and it's starting to get you down, you're starting to be unhappy, you need to do what Paul does. Learn to see it from God's point of view. What is God doing here? What's the bigger picture? What's the bigger perspective? And then you'll be able to face the problem in faith. And when you face the problem in faith, two things will happen. Write these down. First, it's a witness to unbelievers. When Christians handle big problems in faith, it is a witness to unbelievers. That's why in verse 13 he says, for everyone here, talking about the palace guard and in the royal prison, everyone here, including all the soldiers and the palace guard, knows that I'm in chains because of Christ. Well, I guess so. He'd witnessed over 4,000 times the guys chained to him. It's a witness to unbelievers. Number two, it's an encouragement to believers. In verse 14, he says this, and because of my imprisonment, many of the Christians here have gained confidence, those in Rome, and they've become more bold in telling others about Christ. It's a witness to unbelievers. It's an encouragement to believers. Have you ever thought that God might want to use the problem you're going through right now for the very same reason? You know, since Matthew died, both of these have been true in my life. It has been a witness to unbelievers. It's been an encouragement to believers. Why? Because Kay and I looked at the problem from God's perspective, not our own, and we faced it in faith. This week, the story went out in People magazine. I never imagined in my lifetime that I would ever be on People magazine. I mean, I know I'm that good looking, but but I never imagined in my lifetime that I would be in People, on the cover of People magazine. So how many people have heard the gospel since Matthew died? Millions. Millions. Because of all of the stories and the interviews and the CNN and all that. Millions have heard the good news. And I could say, like Paul, I want you to know, friends, that all that has happened to me has worked out for the furthering of the good news. Have you ever thought that that might be true in the problem in your life? If you will look at it from that way, it's going to change your perspective in a major way. All right, number two. Second habit, I can be happy no matter what happens if I never let others control my attitude. And this is a good example of Paul gives us right here in this passage. I can be happy no matter what happens in my life if I never let others control my attitude. I don't let them decide whether I'm going to be happy or not. Now, Paul, in this next section, he talks about four kinds of people. And while he's in prison, he says, now, there are some people who are attacking my ministry. They slandered Paul. They judged Paul. They criticized Paul. They were gossip mongers. There were some people who supported his ministry that were friends. There were some who competed with his ministry. They're trying to kick him while he's down. And there were some who were undermining his ministry. They're even trying to destroy him. They're trying to rub it in. He's in prison. They're trying to make it more painful. And in Philippians chapter 1, verses 15 to 17, Paul describes four kinds of people. Three of them are killjoys. One's a good kind. And he says, there are four kinds of people in my life. There are critics, who are slandering me and who are creating all kinds of controversy. There are comrades, that's my friends. There are competitors who are preaching Christ out of rivalry. And he said, they're conspirators who just want to make my problem worse. They want to rub it in. They want to kick me while I'm down, while I'm in prison. They're my enemies. Now notice these verses there on your outline. First verse, this is verse 15, talking about critics. He says, it is true that some preach Christ because they are jealous and quarrelsome. Circle the word quarrelsome. That word in Greek is the word eris, E-R-I-S. And it means they love to argue. Have you ever met anybody like that? They love to argue. Have you ever heard a radio preacher like that?
We'll have a final thought from Pastor Rick in just a moment. But first, we hope today's message has encouraged you. Pastor Rick has served the church locally, nationally, and internationally for more than 30 years, and he's the author of many books, including The Purpose-Driven Life. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Rick's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Rick's Daily Hope email devotional. Visit us at www.rickwarren.org. That's www.rickwarren.org. And now here's Rick with a closing thought.
One of the things that I've discovered is that everybody eventually asks the questions of significance. Why am I here? And what is my purpose? What on earth am I here for? That's why 10 years ago, I wrote the book, Purpose-Driven Life, because I wanted to help people like you understand how God created us for five eternal purposes. The Bible says that long before we heard of Christ, He had His eye on us, had His designs on us for glorious living, that it was part of His overall purpose that He's working out in everything and everyone. God has never made a person that He doesn't have a purpose for. You know, that simple message needs to be shared with a whole new generation. A young girl who was 12 years old when I wrote Purpose-Driven Life is now 22. And she needs to hear this essential message that God has a plan, has a purpose, and has a reason for everything that happens in our lives. So I've updated The Purpose-Driven Life. And what I did is after reading hundreds of thousands of comments that have come into me over the past decade, I've added two new chapters that'll help you handle the two most common problems and barriers to living a life of purpose. Now I want you to have this newly revised, expanded copy of Purpose-Driven Life. I think you'll find it's a fresh reminder of things that you may have forgotten when you first read it. Or you might want to give the book to somebody who has never read it and is struggling to find their purpose. So this month, I'm offering to you a hardback copy of the updated, expanded edition of Purpose-Driven Life, What on Earth Am I Here For? It's my gift to you for your financial support of this ministry. It doesn't matter how much or how little you're able to give, every amount matters to God. And God sees your heart and He'll multiply whatever you're able to give. Thank you for your help in spreading the good news throughout the world. And join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous support.